Welcome to our Sunday Night Blessing Live. Glad you stopped by. Trust that what we say and do and our prayers together and some of the scriptural teachings that we dig into will be a blessing to you today. Stay tuned as we join the live broadcast, and then you're welcome to make a comment, send us a note, and just enjoy the time together. God bless. See you soon. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sunday Night Live. And we are here again to talk about the good things of the Lord, catch up with some of the activities of the week, perhaps. But most of all, to hear something from the Father on this Sunday night. As you have heard me say often, Sunday nights in my traditional past were always in church. And the Sunday nights were always wonderful and different and longer. Of course, as kids, we may not have appreciated that. But as people of God, we certainly enjoyed the things of the Lord on Sunday night. So welcome. If you're new to our journey together, our channel, and it's something that is blessing or is speaking to you, go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube and give us a like on Facebook, and those good things help us. Well, they tell me it helps us go out a little further into that mysterious internet world. What a gift God has given us in this season of the church. I've been involved in a lot of history in the last developing years, radio, TV, and now, of course, video, cassette tapes, CDs, flash drives, so forth. Now the internet, of course, is the main outlet of so many voices in the church. What a gift it is from the Lord. I've been on radio for years. We started our first radio broadcast back in 1973 in Seattle and have been on a number of different stations over the years. We were in Sacramento for a period of time on the radio, and I had an international broadcast out of Aquila in the Caribbeans for quite a while, and it even went over as far as West Africa. We did Bible studies. We sent lessons out, and the people that were responding sent their corrected papers, or at least their test papers, back. It was a wonderful season, but now it's the season of internet. So thank you for being a part of this journey tonight. It's on my spirit to talk about prayer. The Lord dropped that in my goal box, as you say. Lord, what you got for me today? I pastored with 9 other pastors in Southern California. Arliss and I went down there in about 74. And spent some time on this great charismatic church in Wilmington, California. And we had our mailbox or our notice box down in the pastor's entryway, main office. And that's where we would get our instructions. We'd go and reach in there and see what we were to do for the day, or or what we did wrong in the service. I got a note one time from the pastor correcting how I pronounced something when I would say a certain word. Well, those are good. Those things are good for young, flexible, developing ministers. I remember my dad told me, he said, get rid of the handkerchief. Well, in the early Pentecostal days, we would pull a handkerchief out and wipe our face and wave it around and pull it through our hands and use it for a prop. Dad said, get rid of the handkerchief. It's distracting. Well, I did, and I could still preach. So Thank you. Thank you, Dad. And I thank the mentors and the instructors and the elders that did the sandpapering and, you know, the shaping in my life. Some of it hurt, you know, when you get corrected. Well, it's good for us. I was listening to a commentator the other day. He wasn't necessarily a spiritual commentator, but he was certainly speaking spiritual principles. He said, you learn more out of failure. So you need to fail once in a while. Number one, it makes you realize you need help and you're not the center of the universe. You need to fail once in a while so you can. So what happens, you learn probably more out of failure in some cases. Look at look at the light bulb. The light bulb, Edison tried, 1,000 times before he finally found the right filament that wouldn't burn up in that light bulb. All of the inventions, they tested and tested and failed and failed. And when they failed, they said, well, this is one way it's not going to work. Let's try another way. So I encourage you today, as we talk about prayer, not to cast, you know, throw your hands in there and say, well, what's the use? You know, it's not going to help me any. I tried praying one time and all I got was crickets. I believe that prayer is not a one-way conversation. I believe it's an interaction between two people. Now, in this case, you and God. I suppose, in this case, talking about prayer, more disappointing than talking to yourself, going into a closet or into a bedroom, a chamber, a prayer room, walking the beach, sitting on a park bench, talking to yourself. And I'm convinced that's why people don't pray, because they feel like they're talking to themselves. So today, let's just go over some of the principles and the points of prayer. A prayerless church is a dead church. A prayerless person has a lot of things they deal with that they shouldn't be dealing with, like anxieties, depression, fear, worry, all those things. You can have faith. And you can have faith and receive Jesus. But a praying person goes on into the battle or the journey, the warfare, the conquering, you know. He or she begins to fulfill their destiny and their purpose. And it happens as you communicate with your commander. Soldier goes out, takes off. Got all the guns on and all the ammo, but he never, you know, calls back home, never communicates, doesn't know what's going on. Reminds me of the last Japanese soldier that finally gave up on one of the South Sea Islands after 50 years. He didn't even know the war was over. He had hid out in some cave and didn't want to have anybody find him. Because he knew that if they did, but he found out after he was discovered that the war had been over 50 years and he had forgot or didn't want to communicate to headquarters. So let's talk about communicating. Let's talk about prayer. There's a couple of one-liners in the scriptures I just want to remind you of. Prayer without ceasing. That's an interesting term, isn't it? Pray without ceasing, or prayer without ceasing. How do you pray all the time and communicate with people? How do you pray and not get, you know, especially if you did it out loud in your workplace, in the office? That would be a interesting one, wouldn't it? Praying in the office out loud, especially if you did it in tongues. Okay, let's move along. Pray without ceasing. I believe there's external prayer and internal prayer. And I'm convinced that's what was being discussed here. There's a prayer that goes on in your spirit or your inner man or your mind, your thought process. There's desires out of the heart that I believe are coming out to the Father without uttering them, without articulating, you know. So that would be one of my thoughts, one of the things that I would say prayer, pray without ceasing, would include. It would also indicate that everything we do before we do it, before we jump in, before we start a process or a project, let's pray about it. I was raised with a group of my elders, my father's contemporaries, and among them was men and women who loved to pray. Our apostle was a man of prayer, O.C. Harms. He started a group of churches in Southern California back in the 30s, and I came into it obviously in the 40s. My dad was converted in about 1932. Now, the foundation of that early Pentecostal movement was prayer. We prayed before church and we prayed after church. We had prayer meetings through the week. We had prayer meetings in our homes. We prayed before the meals. We prayed before we went to bed. All those things that happen in that system, that schedule of prayer, work something into my DNA that is really the praying without ceasing mentality. Whatever you do, you always enter into it with prayer. Now, often you don't enter into it with let's kneel right here and pray. But certainly as you step into something, you say, Lord, I'm coming in the name of Jesus, or Father, protect me, or give me wisdom, or now I'm asking for strength. Lord, let the angels be around me. Those statements and those confessions are the prayer of our spirit, or the declaration of our spirit. Prayer is not just a form. It's not just dear Lord, and in the name of Jesus, amen, with a system of rote or dialogue in that sense. But it is an interaction of you and the Father. Now, prayer is not a one-way conversation. The Lord dropped it in my heart. There are so many sweet and precious saints of God that don't consider themselves able, or maybe don't consider themselves worthy to hear from God, to have God speak to them. Or perhaps they fall into the category of not having heard or being taught or trained. Scripture says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So a lack of knowledge about the interaction of God's voice to us can be a detriment if we don't hear the voice of the Lord. If I'm in the middle of the road and a big truck is bearing down on me, barreling down the road, I want to hear somebody say, hey, get out of the road. Well, we do. That does happen to us, but many of our brothers and sisters, many saints, don't know what it was. I had this thought, I had this feeling, I just heard something, I had this desire, I just felt like I should move or, you know, look up, and there I saw it coming. All those things that seem so normal, natural human traits. Mine, you know, I'm just thinking about it. That's the Father's way of penetrating your conscious mind so you can hear the voice of the Lord. I would love to always have a dynamic, dramatic, powerful word from the Lord. The paint melts in the wall, the curtains move, you know, you find yourself fainted when he speaks, the house shakes. That happens. We see that in the scriptures, don't we? When they prayed, the place was shaken, the Bible says. Book of Acts, second chapter. When the Holy Spirit came in, they had been praying 10 days, waiting on the Lord, you know, in the upper room. And the place was shaken, and the tongues of fire, which were angels coming, sitting on them. Wow, I'm anointed just seeing it, just thinking about it and seeing it in my spirit. Wow. Okay. But how about the still small voice? The imagination that some of our sweet brothers and sisters don't believe in. There's a slice of the church that really is negative about imagination. Yeah, you can't imagine anything. You know, that's idol worship. That's like the Catholics. The Catholics did when the Catholics had a lot of idols, and they worshiped idols, and they had images and pictures. Well, when the Reformation came and John Calvin began to write some of the main theology, they swept it all aside. And that's where the apostles died. They made that clear, that there's no more apostles, and there's no more miracles, and there's no more a lot of things. And one of those things that was no more was your imagination. Well, I love to tell you, I was going to say I hate to tell you, but I love to tell you that your imagination is one of the things that brings us to faith and hope and revelation. You see it in your mind. You wouldn't be sitting in your front room couch or looking at this computer, this program on a computer, unless somebody had a picture, a dream, an idea, a thought, and it developed in their imagination, and they could see the structure of it. They imagined how that thing would work. And they were able to bring it down from imagination into, you know, the diagram, the architectural diagram, or those that know how to do dimensional drawings. I heard the story of the man who invented those large earth movers back in the 30s, I suppose. Maybe a little earlier than that, Christian man, and came back from a Wednesday night missionary service, hearing about the need for missions and missionaries and people to go. And he said, "Lord, I can't go, but I'd sure like to minister money. I'd like to give money to the missions." Well, he woke up in the middle of the night and had this imagination, this picture, this dream in his head. And he scribbled it out, just began to draw under the inspiration of the Lord, and took it to an architect or someone who could bring it down and put it on paper. It ended up being a earth-moving machine and trucks and all kinds of huge equipments that has actually built our roads for the last, well, almost a century now, perhaps. Because God gave a picture to someone. Well, how do you hear the voice of the Lord? First of all, you believe you can. And you believe you do, but you just need to know how to interpret it. You remember Paul's on the road to Damascus, on the road to Damascus, and he's he's out doing dirty deeds. He's a mean guy. I mean, he's killing and putting people in prison and all kinds of destruction to the church. Spirit of God strikes him on the ground. The angel of the Lord, you know, the Jesus stood in front of him. And he heard a voice. Now, the other guys, all they heard was thunder. All they heard was a noise. But he heard a voice, and it said, "Paul, why are you kicking against the pricks or against the end of a spear? You're going to hurt yourself. You can't stop me doing that. You're just hurting yourself." But the other guys around him had no interpretation. He did. He heard the voice of the Lord. All right. Prayer, then, is a two-way conversation. The Bible says he would that men and women would pray always. Always, you know, praying. Would pray but not faint. Pray but not faint. Well, we have two choices then, don't we? We either pray or we faint. We have two choices. We either pray or we faint. Now, what would faint, how would you interpret faint? Faint is when you doubt, fear, worry, anxiety, wonder if God's going to come through. That would be fainting or weakening in your faith, isn't it? So he said he would that all men and women would pray and not faint. So this is not an option. Prayer is not an option. So if I'm going to pray, then I'm going to pray with the expectation of answers. If I pray, I receive answers. If I don't pray, I faint. I become weakened. So, ready to vote? Are you ready to vote on this? I want to pray. I vote for praying. All right. Now, let's talk about some of the practical side of hearing the voice of the Lord. We read the scriptures, and if you're a believer and you love Jesus and you love the Bible, you believe it and you know it's authentic, it's inspired, it's God's communication to us through printed form. Our history is laid out, our spiritual development, the foundational truths of Old Testament, New Testament, so forth. But one of the things that we make a mistake in is when we see someone in the Bible hearing the voice of the Lord, we have a tendency to say, well, they're in the Bible and I'm not. So they are special and I'm just, you know, dirt. I'm here. They were in times when God spoke to people and so forth. Don't buy into that. Do not buy into that, because God has a word for you when you pray. Now, here's how I would suggest that you begin. You come to the Lord. First of all, we enter into his gates with praise. Old Testament, Psalms 100, fourth verse. We enter into his gates with praise and into his courts. That's where the throne room would be. That's where the king sat on the throne, into the court. And it was in the court before the throne room where you brought your petitions to the king, and your requests were made known before the king. So we bring our requests to the Lord. It's not wrong to ask God for something, but that's not the end of the conversation. Then we expect God to answer. You say, well, I prayed one time and I didn't get an answer. Well, I would encourage you then to open your spirit and ask him to give you a clear message. I often say to the Lord, Father, you know how I hear, so put it on that channel. Now, over the years that I've been exercising this, I have to tell you that I have been forced into new ways to hear the Lord. Now, forced, what I mean by that is God knows I'm going to settle down in one kind of one standard, one thing. And he said, no, I want you to exercise yourself and develop your ability to hear. So I'm going to push you, open up something else. No, didn't always come, you know, like the angel stood before me in the middle of the night and said, George, this, no. But it came in hunger, desire, FaceTime, carpet time, as they say. You know, you spit out the carpet fibers because you've had your face in the carpet for a while. Calling on the Lord, oh God, hear my prayer. Speak to me. And somewhere along the line, we begin to understand the voice of the Lord. Now, for me, it came a certain way. It come a different way for you. You say, well, I would know the voice of the Lord if he would, like Daniel and Belshazzar, if he just write it on the back wall in flaming letters with a finger, you know, fingers, write it on the wall. Well, I've prayed that. I said, Lord, how come I can't see that? He says, listen, the Holy Spirit's used this scripture on me and to me more than I realize, I suppose. He said, yea, blessed are they that have believed yet have not seen. Remember that incident of the New Testament. Blessed are they that have believed and not seen. Okay, Lord, I get it. Not going to show me something. I'm just believing. But in that believing, I developed into hearing the voice of the Lord in tongues and interpretation. That may have been the first way that I began to realize God was speaking. When in the Pentecostal hour of our day, you know, the life we live, we had someone would speak in tongues in church. And then we would open up and say, Lord, I want an interpretation. I began to do that at 15 years of age, and it developed as God gave me something to say. Well, how'd you do it? Right here, you thought it. It was a thought. Well, does God speak in thoughts? Yes, 99% of the time, that's how God speaks. When I stand in front of someone and we're in a prophetic anointing, when the spirit of prophecy is in the house, I don't see it on the back wall written in flaming letters. I don't hear a thundering voice in my ear. No, I have heard that. I have heard many times when God roars. Most of the time, it's the voice of the Lord or the angel of the Lord that he sends speaking in your ear. Now, another way that God answers is a little later after you've prayed. And you've quieted down long enough now to not fight it, you know, with your reasoning and your semi-believing. You go to sleep and you have a dream. And in the dream, it's like Adam being put to sleep. God put Adam to sleep so he wouldn't interfere with what he was doing. And he created Eve. But in your dream, when you're asleep, he can speak to you. And especially when you're just coming out of your dream or your sleep, right in that flash moment, there's a moment where just a special sensitivity where you'll hear something, you'll think something, you'll have a thought, you'll have an idea, you'll have a revelation, something will come to you. That's the time to write it down. Take note of it. Don't get up and brush your teeth and get a cup of coffee. Sit right down while the Spirit is fresh. And I tell you, you'll begin to hear things that you never thought you could ever hear. Amen. All right. Well, I wanted to encourage you today to listen. God is speaking back to you. Don't just go into prayer and rattle off your list of, well, he's not Santa Claus, you know, so we're not just giving our wish list, but we are communicating with the Father. And what happens after you develop this interaction, communication, it'll be the sweetest time of your day and the most powerful time of your night when you're able to talk to the Lord and have him talk back to you. Amen. My precious, most precious moments in life always boil down to those times when the Lord would manifest himself in a prayer meeting or a time alone where we knew God was speaking to us. Now, let's not discount the fact that often you'll pray something and a prophet will speak it to you later on, or you'll hear it in a sermon, or you'll tune the broadcast on like this one, and God will say something to you. One of my first radio broadcasts, I had a letter from a woman back in early days. And some years later, she came to our church and gave the same testimony. She was laying in her bed sick, been there for a long, long time, couldn't do her duties, was almost immobile. And one day her daughter came through the bedroom, turned on the radio to a station she really didn't listen to often. And the instant the old tubes warmed up, I said, "What do you mean God never speaks to you? You got a Bible, you got a lap full of it, open it up and let him speak." And it hit her so hard that she began to read the word. And in just a day or two, she was up, healed, because she began to hear God say something out of the book. So we're not just waiting for mysterious voices and ethereal experiences. We got a lap full of it. And as you read the word, the voice of the Lord will begin to be clear. He'll speak to you out of scripture. I know it's laughed at or mocked sometimes. We used to believe that if we could just open the Bible and make a finger point, and the scripture would say, you know, something to us. Well, that was probably the early days when we were practicing listening to the Lord. I don't do that anymore. I did it a few times in the early days, seeing what the Bible would say to me. Well, I encourage you to listen. I encourage you to wait on the Lord. Let his voice become clear. Tune it in. It'll be static at first, maybe a little dim. You'll have to twist the knobs on the receiver, adjust yourself, open your spirit to the Spirit of God. You watch. There's some exciting days ahead for you all. Amen. I am thrilled that we have these few moments together. Thank you for letting me know you're there. Let me know where you're from. Give me a comment. And I really get excited when I see the different places this broadcast is going to and affecting and touching. And the Lord is giving me the nod to keep going forward. We're doing this because God said to do it, not because it's, you know, reaching the entire world. But I'm reaching those that need to hear a word in season. And I have for years had the ministry of the woman at the well. I have always known that no matter what I do, there's going to be a miraculous touch, a word to someone that's going to change their life forever. Amen. So be sure and let us know you're there and give us a thumbs up, all those things that that we love to hear back from you. Amen. It's exciting to know that God can reach out through these mediums and go come right into your front room and touch you and change your life forever. Let's pray before I leave. Father, as the scripture says, he sent his word and healed them. So today we declare healing and restoration. Today we declare a clear voice, a clear word in our spirits. Today we say, those that are with me now and those that will listen later and tune in later, we take in agreement together that in this season that we're in, there's going to be a clear, directive voice giving us wisdom to turn right, to turn left, to stop, to go. We believe, Lord, as spirit beings, spiritual Christians, amen, we believe we are led by the Lord. So I thank you for this season together and this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, send me a note. Let me know if I can pray with you about anything. And until next Sunday at 6:30, we'll be here again. But don't forget, each morning, early in the morning, I'm up and raring to go. Join me, and we'll see you on Monday morning. God bless.
Thank you for being with us today. It's such a pleasure and a blessing to us to know that we're able to speak into your life and give you something extra to chew on for a while. Be sure and contact us if you would like some prayer or teachings of any sort that we might be able to help you with. Don't forget, be sure and subscribe to our channel. And if God's nudging you to send us a financial gift, you can do that through our PayPal account. The notes are there that you can find in the notes below. God bless you, and we'll be seeing you at the next broadcast.